A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Dad, why do you have that palm branch?" The father replied, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Oh man, the one Sunday I miss church and Jesus shows up." Well, today is Palm Sunday, the day taken from the Gospels where a whole city threw a parade for Jesus. As Jesus rode into the city, people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. Thus, we get the name Palm Sunday. This day marked a time of celebration where Jesus was worshipped and praised. This day is bittersweet, because even as we read of the celebration today, we know that Thursday is coming, the time of the Last Supper, the time of the betrayal of the Christ. We know that Friday is coming. We know that the cross is coming. We know that many in this same crowd will, within a few short days, exchange words of praise for words of death, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna today!" only to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" in just a few days more. But gladly, we also know that Easter Sunday is coming, the day of resurrection. What must it have been like to be part of that crowd that first Palm Sunday? Stand there cheering as the Messiah made his way into the city. I figure there were most likely three or four types of people in that crowd. We're going to take a brief look at a few of those types right now. The Roman guards, they were there to do a job, to keep the peace and ensure that the proper respect was shown to Caesar and the Roman overlords. And then there were the high priests, who wanted to see if this guy Jesus was going to usurp their authority over the people. Another was just your average person, who saw a crowd and got caught up in all the shouting and celebrating. And the sprinkling of these were probably some who thought this might be the time for rebellion against their own oppressors. And then there were those who knew what this was really all about. The ones who knew the Messiah had arrived and who wanted to see and know Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. Let's look at the largest group first. Those who were in town already since it was the Feast of the Passover. Imagine yourself in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. There's a great crowd there that day that had come to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. Probably similar to what we see in Times Square on New Year's Eve, but on a much larger scale. Josephus, the notable Jewish historian, estimated that over 2 million people were involved in the Great Passover Feast. Teeming thousands from all over the world were flooding into the city to observe the Passover. An excitable, carnival-like atmosphere was bound to prevail over such a mob. Lots of people jamming the streets of the city, getting ready to celebrate. But as they prepared to observe one of the most important feasts of the Jewish faith, word came that Jesus was on his way into the city. Now, I'm sure some had heard of this Messiah, this King of the Jews, but still many others were probably unaware of the stories about this man. But in the spirit of a good party, they saw the crowds gathering and figured they'd better be in on it too, to see what all the shouting was about. And again, I'm sure others saw the entrance into the town by this man Jesus as the start of the rebellion that they were sure was to come. The King of Kings who would lead them in their war to kick out the Romans and to bring peace to the land. The only trouble with this last group was they didn't understand that Jesus was a man of peace, that his kingdom was not of this earth, and he was here to teach us the love of God and not the might of the people. And that group of zealots was in part the reason that we saw the second group, the Roman guards. They were stationed in Jerusalem to keep the peace. I'm sure they knew who this man Jesus was, his reputation as a rabble-rouser who preached the true king was God and not Caesar. I'm sure this made the guards stop and wonder if there was any way to calm down this crowd who was shouting out their hosannas to the king. I'm sure they had their eyes out to see if this celebration would become a riot, and probably a few were hoping that it would. Then they'd have a good excuse to thin out this mob a little bit. And then there were the priests. In John chapter 12, verse 19, it reads, "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.' Wherever the power was, that's where you'd find these Pharisees. Wherever the prestige was, you could be sure they would be there. They wanted the praise. They wanted the glory. They wanted to be looked up to, and they wanted to be the ones who had all the influence. They were fine as long as they were the center of attention. But look out if someone else received the praise. People were beginning to come to this Jesus and follow him. And the Pharisees knew that this meant their powerful political positions were in jeopardy." How tragic it is that religious positions sometimes become political. That men reject Christ for the things of this world. That men swap eternity for social and political gain. These preachers and teachers, these church leaders, were only interested in themselves. They were only interested in the prestige of their position, and they were going to oppose anyone and anything that threatened their power. And we saw in the video clip one section of it where Jesus talked about the crowd was stilled and the stones would start to sink. I always kind of wondered about that and thought, well, it's probably a metaphor. But then I did a little bit of reading on it. It's amazing what you can find on the internet. And basically, what he's talking about there is that if the people were still, then creation itself, the very stones of the earth, would still sing out. Because no kind of silencing or denial of who the Lord was could stop him from being just that. God is man, coming to die for mankind and bring man back to God's presence through him. And lastly, there were the few that were there to see the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Savior. In John chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus.' And that simple statement was the true reason that people should have come, should have been there that day. That we would all come into his presence to glorify and honor. What a difference it would make in our lives if we would just say, 'We would like to see Jesus.' For when we see Jesus and worship his holy name, God is glorified. When we recognize that this Jesus represents the love that God has for us, a love that will send him to the cross to die for us, we can be changed. When we come to the realization that God gave his only Son to die for you and for me, that we might not perish but have everlasting life, it changes our perspective. When we see and believe this truth, then we really begin to worship him. We begin to bow down and surrender our whole beings to God. We begin to follow and obey his will, to honor and praise him for all he has done for us and is doing for us. When we really seek Jesus, that's when the name of God is glorified. That's when real worship occurs." Those people in the crowd that day were shouting something that was far more significant than maybe even they realized. "Hosanna! Hosanna!" they shouted. This Hebrew word, Hosanna, means he who saves. They were welcoming their king. But this was not a king that would reign over Israel. This was a king far more important, far more powerful than any king. For although they didn't realize it, they were honoring the King of Heaven. They were honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were honoring the King that would triumph over death. They were singing praises to the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Shouldn't we be doing the same? So which of these people would you have been? Would you be there like the guards, watching to see if the fight was brewing? Would you have been like the priests, waiting to see if what was said agreed with your own perception of how the people should act? Would you have been one of the many who just saw a crowd and figured, I better see what's happening? After all, nobody wants to miss a good party. Or would you have been like the Greeks, who just wanted to see Jesus? One who wanted to see the Savior and bask in his heavenly presence, wanted to be in the presence of the Messiah who came to save us all. After all, that's what Jesus' journey was all about. The Hosanna, who saved us all and washed away our sins. So which one would you be?